Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be watching us from. And this is the last Sunday of 2020. And today we're going to be doing some songs, some prayers, some scripture, and some reflections on the year that has been, particularly picking up some of the series we've run. The Anchor series, Faith is Like, and the Armour series. And, you know, when I was looking at my notes from last year, I looked at the last Sunday of the year, and it had a slide which says, 2020, best year ever, question mark. And I'm wondering, what sort of grade out of 10 would you give 2020? Today we're going to do a bit of reflecting on that. And like all things, I guess there are things we learn, things we take away, things we want to forget. So join with us today as we close out the year with some prayers as well. So I'm going to ask David Mack to come in and lead us in prayer as we set ourselves up for this time. Thanks, David.
Good day. The songs I've picked today have some phrases in them that kind of reflect the year we've had. Jeff Bullock's song, Just Let Me Say, which has a line in it, "Let me find you in the desert till this sand is holy ground." And the other song by Robin Mark, Shout to the North, has a line in the bridge which talks about we've been through rain, we've been through fire, we've been refined by the power of your name. And so in picking those songs is kind of my hope that we will be able to embrace those moments of desert and struggle, but know that God is with us. So let's pray together. Father, we praise and thank you for the gift of life and the gift of hope, the gift of your presence in the midst of challenge, even struggle for some. Those moments in the desert, those moments of being inundated. Help us, Lord, as we journey today and every day to know that you are with us and the sand is indeed holy ground. We praise you, we thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do each day of our lives. We praise you and thank you, Abba Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. Amen.
My Dave's Dodgy drawing board is back, kids. So I thought one of the things I will try and do today, and I was just thinking, I had a brainwave just as David was talking. If 2020 was a present, la la la, you'd have a nice little bow somewhere, wouldn't you? Is that a nice present, do you think? If 2020 was a present, what would it be? What would it be? What mystery would you unravel at the end? So some people have said 2020 has been very disappointing, very sad. And I guess there's lots of different emotions, but this sadness, isn't it? It's like all the things you normally do, you can't do. You could be grumpy. You could be wearing your grumpy pants. Maybe you might be feeling like that. Grumpy. I don't know. It's a funny thing. Years, our experiences in life. And I guess there's a mixture thing. For some people, this year might have been, might have had some smiles. Might have had a few tears. Not sure really. It looks like an angry one, but it's just tears. Okay, so there might be lots of tears. So what do you do with all these tears and sadness and grumpiness and angriness and, oh, if 2020 is a present and we open up as a bit grumpy and scary, what do you do with it? You know, one of the wonderful things about faith, one of the things I love about praying is that when we come to God, we say, God, I'm feeling grumpy, sad, upset, angry. Please help me. See, there's a thing we talk about is when we bring our prayers and our concerns to God and we leave them there with God. So we don't take them back. It's like giving someone a present. You give them a present and you don't take it back. So it's really like what God is happy to receive is all the things that hurt us, upset us. And what God gives back to us is love and peace. So in the same way, when we pray and ask God to help us, this is what happens. All those things go away that are angry, upset, and we become renewed with Sam's favorite image, the heart of God, the love of God, which anchors us in our lives that we face. That's the world's worst anchor, but considering I just did that Dave Dodgy style, you'll understand. Let me share a short prayer with you, kids. Lord Jesus, as this year comes to a close, we ask that each of the children and people in our lives, and young and old, might capture that sense of hope despite the difficulties we faced. May we have a real sense of that God's love with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
First reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise, even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience, in turn, forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling short-changed. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit.
So part of our day today is that we're going to be looking at the three series we've run this year. Anchor series, the Faith is Like, and the Armour series. I really love the Anchor series. We had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, what anchors you or me in the storms of life? What connects us? What sustains us? And we had a lot of fun. We talked, the kids had some good insights, like God's love is like an anchor, you know, where the heart is in the center, thanks to Sam. And then Sabella talked about the anchor keeps us in the same spot in love. That's a lovely image too, isn't it? The anchor holds us firm in the same spot. And we had other people writing poems, and Ren Jenny wrote a whole pile of things which then help us explore the faith links, the chains that connected the anchor to our boats. Lots of other ideas too. Now, the aim of sermons is for me to stimulate your thinking, not give you the answers. And so part of today has been, the whole time I've been with you, is really, I'm not trying to give you the truth, but I'm hoping the truth will stir you. The words we speak, the Holy Spirit will stir and particularly make things alive for you. So as you grow in your relationship in God, that's really what we're trying to do as we gather, either online or in the person. So we've just come from Christmas, and at Christmas time we celebrated Mary and Joseph and the mess of life, and how the messy shepherds rocked up on Christmas Day to surprise them with a message of love. And I think this year, I think if we had to give 2020 a score, well, I'm not sure what you'd give it, but it's been a tough year. There's been lots of mess involved. And when we had the Anchor series, COVID had just started. And so one of the things that I invited you to think about is, what happens when we experience unexpected shocks? It's like, I shared a little bit about the book from Dr. Ross Harris, who talked about the reality slap. Let me read a quote to you. The reality slap takes many different forms. Sometimes it's so violent it's like a punch in the face. Death of a loved one, a serious injury or illness, freak accident, a violent crime, betrayal, fire, flood, or disaster. At other times, the slap is somewhat gentler. The sudden flash of envy, sharp pains of loneliness, the burst of anger or resentment, those painful stabs of failure, disappointment, or rejection. Sometimes that slap quickly recedes in the memory. Other times it knocks us senseless and leaves us wandering in a daze. COVID has woken us up, and it hits us with a real reality gap between the slap and the pause it takes for us to regroup. And it's a bit like, you know, if you've ever been on a boat, and it's the difference between being on a calm ocean and a rough sea is the difference between keeping your lunch down or not. So it's a bit like that reality slap. Once you're hit, it just takes a while because you're real. Now, one of the things we did during this time was to use Psalms, because I'm a true believer that to have a relationship with God, we need to be bringing those things we struggle with and the points of hard time as well as the good times, because that's what makes faith and life come alive. I shared some different Psalms with you, and this is one of them. You are my protector. This is Psalm 43. You are my protector. Why have you abandoned me? Why must I go on suffering from the cruelty of my enemies? Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God. And once again, I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. Now, the reason I introduced the Psalms was because these were written 2,700 years ago. And it's a model for how we bring our faith to God in our experiences. Wonderful, powerful model, where it really invites us to be honest. God wants our good and our bad stuff. And in the same thing, it's a bit like that mental health 101. You've got to talk about it. God is intently interested in the things that we struggle with. We also picked up Paul, didn't we? The Apostle Paul, who we know he's not someone who simply sat in an ivory tower, but he was immersed in the suffering of the early Christian church because Christians were persecuted. They were hunted down and killed. The Colosseum people go and see in Rome today was a place of murder for Christians. Paul knew this. Paul endeavored to inspire these followers, and this is what he wrote. We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that is given to us. The Bible's not about positive thinking. You know, if you believe something hard enough, it'll happen. The Bible is about reality. We would bring our faith that is grounded in the love of Christ through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus to sustain us. It's a hard-fought faith. This faith emerges out of the suffering and trauma. So we have confidence. If it was somebody sitting on the beach drinking pina colada and writing a nice epistle, you'd be worried. But this is some powerful stuff. And the last image I want to bring to you as part of our reflection was Viktor Frankl. We talked about him, the Jewish psychiatrist who was captured by the Nazis in World War II. And he wrote the book of Man's Search for Meaning, which applies to women, of course. And in that environment, in the horror of the Holocausts and the concentration, where he lost all his family, he wrote this thing. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. The Anchor series reminds us we have a choice. We have those faith chains that link us to God's love. We have a choice about how we interact and use those, how we reach out to others, how we engage God with them. Our faith grows in hardship. That is the truth. And I have a couple of questions, three questions. What has anchored you during the storms of 2020? Are you aware of how your faith has changed or adapted to 2020 issues? Do you have to make a choice about something? You can pause what you're watching and reflect on that, or maybe come back to it. We're going to now lead into a time of singing. David's going to lead us in a song. Thank you.
I think one of the anchors in life for me is what I mentioned earlier in this service, and Jeff Bullock's song, Let Me Find You in the Desert. I think this song just really says it all, and we can express our love to God in song that reflects those kind of sentiments. Speak of your mercy and grace. Just let me live in the shadow of your beauty. Let me see you face to face. And
the earth will shake as your word goes forth, and the heavens can tremble and fall. Just let me say how much I love you, oh my Savior, my Lord and friend. Just let me hear your finest whispers as you gently call my name, and let me see your power and your glory. Let me feel your spirit flame. Let me find you in the desert till this sand is holy ground, and I am found completely surrendered to you, my Lord and friend. So let me say how much I love you. With all my heart I long for you, for I am caught in this passion of knowing, this endless love I've found in you. And the depth of grace, the forgiveness found, to be called a child God, just makes me say how much I love you, oh my Savior, my Lord and friend. Just makes me say how much I love you, oh my Savior, my Lord and friend. My Lord and
Timothy chapter 2 verses 3-7. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things.
So the second series we launched into is a Faith is Like series. And if you're wondering where actually we're taking this service, it's in the little chapel. So I thought I'd just throw that in there, because save you scratching your head and thinking, where is this being held? So Faith is Like series. And we looked at faith is like a seed. And Jesus spoke about how all you need is faith this big to move mountains. We reflected on the mountains in our lives that needed moving, not the physical mountains like Mount Tabor or whatever. And then we looked at faith is like a muscle, and we reflected on the difference between being a couch potato and going to the gym regularly or exercising or whatever, and how that generates strength in our muscles. Our muscles need resistance to grow. And again, when we thought about faith, it's like our faith needs resistance to grow. Then we moved on to the reading from Paul. Faith is like a soldier. And I guess part of my emphasis was that, surprisingly, a lot of soldiers have great empathy and compassion for each other, because they each have to go through the same pickets, same basic training. And so they have a great understanding amongst themselves. That's why they're so close. And then we looked at the athlete and how the athlete has to endure great hardship and training to ready their body for the strenuous activities of being a Hawaii Ironman or whatever it might be. And then faith is like a farmer. And I probably, out of all of those, I reckon faith like a farmer is the hardest, because there's just so many things you can't control. You can't control the weather, sun's supposed to be shining when it's not, it's supposed to be raining when it's not, la, la, la. It's just like, wow. But those images were great. And part of what I want to just pick up briefly in this section is that soldiers, athletes, and farmers, have disappointment as a way of life. All three of those different types have disappointments. So, like, one of the great sayings we have in the military is, no plan survives the first encounter with the enemy. In other words, you have this great idea, great plan, and then suddenly Hannibal comes over the mountain with elephants. Or, you know, this thing called Blitzkrieg. Or, you know, in Vietnam they're fighting in the tunnels. Or in Afghanistan they're, yeah. So it's just like, no plan survives its first contact. And so it's like the same thing with athletes. Hamstrings get injured. You have the Olympics being shut down because of COVID. So all this planning you have in place falls over. And that's just what it's part of being an athlete. And then farmers, particularly farmers, I think, that whole massive amount of faith that you have to be able to think, well, am I going to plant my seeds now? Am I going to wait a bit longer? Is it going to rain a bit more? And my kudos to you farmers. So expect the unexpected. I think that's part of what the Faith Is Like series tried to pick up. Expect the unexpected. Because there's so many things that just happen. Like, I normally talk about having a plan A, B, and C. 2017, I got up to plan H and I. And had to go back to plan A. So it's just, things happen. And the reason having an extra plan is, it gives you flexibility. So if 2020, you only had one plan, which was plan A, to go to church every Sunday and sing, man, you would be majorly disappointed. This year, we've had a plan B, C, or D. In fact, what plan are we up to now, people? I'm not sure what we are, but we're doing it. Plan alphabet, someone said. So again, so I think part of perspective helps us. Based on this year, going into next year, we got lots of options. And it's a bit like if you're driving through a township and they've got all these trees against the river and it's got 1920, 2001, you know, you begin to get a sense that that's a flood marker. So these people are anticipating floods. So Faith Is Like series, it reminded us, a bit like the farmer, there is joy in actually seeing things happen, even if you have to sometimes trust the result. Hope gets a farmer out of bed, not despair. And I guess for us, part of the invitation with this Faith Is Like series is keeping the big picture in mind. And the big picture in mind gives us a capacity to hope. Here's some questions for you. When reflecting over your life, what perspective do you get of God doing a work in your life? What have you learned about your interaction with God throughout your life? God who? Something until something goes wrong? Is it a constant companion? Maybe like a tide flows in and out. Maybe like a rock always there. So what is your metaphor for this year with your relationship?
What's my metaphor? That was the question, wasn't it? This instrument, in some ways, is a metaphor for my faith journey. I bought this in my first year of work, which was my first full year of work, which was back in 1969. And the instrument's traveled with me, done a lot of things. And if you look at it closely, it's got dents in it. And you look at it even more closely, across there's a split where the neck got broken. And it was repaired by an African carpenter who, in the initial thing, I didn't really think he'd be able to fix it, but fix it he did. And then it got broken a second time and I was devastated. For me, that's a story of my journey and my relationship with Christ, that things happen, things go wrong, the wheels fall off, a neck gets broken. But in the hands of the right craftsman, it can be repaired. And the craftsman, for me, is Jesus.
men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, when your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus, the Savior of all, the Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing with broken hearts, who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love.
Verses 13 to 18. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it is all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. This is the word of the Lord.
So our final reflection on our series was the Armour of God series, and I really enjoyed this series. Although someone did remind me that that actually sat through about 20 armour series, preachers, sermons, so I was up against it. But look, I really liked the connectedness with the armour. So we looked at the belt of truth and how the belt, or the kilt, the leather kilt, was connected to the breastplate. So they weren't separate things, but they were connected in. And so that righteousness and the truth were connected in. And we had the good news shoes, which actually we could choose what they would be. Again, the shield was meant to really lock us in, the shield of faith, lock us in with others. And then the helmet of salvation, Christ who died for us. So these different components made a complete ensemble or a kit. Now, one of the things we talked about was that the Roman soldier never did anything by themselves. Their strength and power relied upon the fact that they did things as a legion or as companies or lots of soldiers. by themselves, they were vulnerable, weak, and it's just not how they've worked. We reflected on even the modern soldier today spends hours every week, sometimes hours every day, going over their kit. So when they've got nothing to do, they're in their warehouses, looking at their cages, pulling out all their webbing, making sure they've got all the bits and pieces. They do a full kit check, which means they spread everything out over the floor, backpacks. It just drives them insane. But there's a reason for it. It's a bit like if you're a Roman soldier, you didn't rock up the battle and think, oh, where's my shield? I've lost my helmet. Where's my breastplate? Everything was there for a reason. The same with the modern soldier. Everything is there. And when I think about that, for a Christian, if we're talking about the armor of God, when was the last time you did an inventory on all your kit? I mean, have you got all your faith components there? Truth, righteousness, good news, faith, salvation. Do you even know where they all are? Because there's a challenge, isn't it? Like this person reminded me, this is not the first time you've heard the armor series or the scripture. So as a Christian of many years, how do you make sense of this story of faith? How is it? I mean, most of us don't read the same book two or three times, do we? Or watch the same movie two or three times. So how do we hear this good news, this scripture, year in, year out, for 30, 40, 50 years? How do you make sense of it? How does it come alive, stay alive? How do we keep fresh? See, faith is dynamic. Your now in faith is a result of your yesterday of faith. Your now of faith is a result of your yesterday of faith. So what you did yesterday is either putting you in good stead now or making you struggle. The same with your future faith is dependent upon your now of faith. We'll talk about exercising. Talk about faith is like. So today what you do benefits your future life. How you engage with scripture, how you pray, how you connect with the community, the body of Christ. God's armor doesn't change. Paul said, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation. So what does change? Well, the first thing is application. How we apply those things for our lives. And I guess it's a little bit different for all of us, but application is the same, whether you're the Pope or whether you're just a new Christian. Whether you've been a Christian for 70 years or 1 year, application does not change. That is the difference between how you live your life and not. And many times people will use their insights about faith and apply it to someone else and judge someone else when that's really the application is about how you apply it to yourself. You know, where that great saying with, you know, don't try and pull the splinter out of your brother or sister's eye when you've got this great log in your own, you know. Love that. It reminds us that we actually have to apply it to ourselves. It's not about applying to others. Man, you're lacking peace. What's your problem? It's like, hey, where's my mirror time? Where's the time I get to reflect on myself? And I think one of the challenges often we have in church is taking things for granted. Now, COVID this year has thrown everything we know about church and how we gather together on its head. And in some ways that has been refreshing, although none of us would have chosen the experiences. Because it's made us think that actually we can do church in a whole lot of different ways. We can do the strawberry fair in a whole lot of different ways. There's a whole lot of different things that once we get out of those little things we confine ourselves to, begin to open up options. And we begin to catch the wave of the Spirit in ways we never thought was possible. Because really, the invitation is how we apply our faith in the context we find ourselves. And this context is what it's about, isn't it? We live in this COVID world which has COVID limitations, and yet people are still in search of faith and hope and love. So how do we as a community, individuals, connect that in? So in the midst of this pandemic, how is it we connect? Now, in South Australia, we're really fortunate that we're maybe not enduring what New South Wales is, just having to go down in a hard lockdown. So we never can take things for granted. America, UK are going to go in lockdown for maybe a couple of months. So it's like there's so many things that are just beyond our control, but how we apply our faith into the context of our year. So this is where, if you've heard the Armour of God series 20 times, I'll bet you haven't had a COVID pandemic year. So the question is, how are you applying your faith in this context? So let me just do a summary of some questions. What anchors us in the storms of life? What part of your faith has grown the most? And finally, have you discovered some part of your armor that is missing or been surprised by its presence? Thanks, David. Song to you.
This final song is really the words of Jesus. Through the faith journey, thinking about armor, for me to know Jesus, there's a sense of completion, but not yet complete. And so for me, you know, David talking about the armor, when I think about armor, do I use it all? Well, goodness, I don't know. I hope I do at different times, but I think because of our relationship with Jesus in here and his very presence, then those things hopefully, as year on year goes by, those things will grow and develop and become an integral part of who I am, who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ. But I keep coming back from time to time to these words of Jesus.
Constant presence of God with me is what has sustained me and got me through the ups and downs of the COVID year. And prayer is about coming consciously into the presence of God, emptying our minds of everything but the knowledge of God's amazing love and grace, and then opening ourselves to that special touch which, in the messiness of our lives, we don't always recognise. So I invite you to pray with me on this last Sunday of what has been, to say the least, a very challenging and difficult year for our world. So let's pray. Gracious, loving, faithful God, as we met this time last year, we could never have imagined how much we would need to rely on our faith in a never-changing God as 2020 unfolded. It has been a year of constant change, discomfort and distress, as all that we knew as normal has been stripped away. How precious it has been to remind ourselves that your presence is constant, your love is faithful, and in any moment of our life, we can turn to you, for you are as near as the air we breathe and as close as the warm sun upon our skin. You hear and respond, and our hearts are stilled. Lord, we are conscious that so many in our community do not know that assurance, and when things fall down around them, they are often uncertain how to lift themselves up again. So many people have been wrapped in uncertainty and insecurity and fear as the pandemic has done its work. Please show us who know you in the depths of our hearts. Please show us the way to relieve the anxiety and to help them find peace. Peace, the wonderful gift of God, offered to all those who would receive it. A peace that passes all understanding and which enables us to ride the storms and emerge victorious, each day a little more confident. We are grateful that, though our world seems to be in chaos, you do indeed have the whole world in your hands and will in time bring order out of the chaos. Help us, we pray, to stay strong and resolute, to not be afraid, to not give up, and so come to more fully understand how you empower those who turn to you. Lord God, we thank you too that in the midst of the chaos there have been wonderful acts of genuine kindness as people have reached out to strangers to bring comfort and healing. We have heard beautiful stories of help, encouragement and generosity as people across our state have striven to get back on track after devastating bushfires earlier in the year. And all these months on, many still do not have proper homes. Help us in the midst of it all to remember and reflect on those moments when the rain on the roof, the beauty of creation, the innocence of a child, the word of encouragement, that random act of kindness, remind us that there is a light in this world and the darkness can never extinguish it. Help us, we pray, to be bearers of that light in these troubling times. In the midst of it all, life goes on, and we especially at this time pray for those who are going through their own personal darkness, those facing serious surgery and long periods of recovery, those who stand with their loved ones in anguish, unable to make things better, those whose anxiety and fears overwhelm them and life seems not worth living. We pray for those whose livelihoods are still in disarray because of lockdowns and restrictions due to COVID, and who have the fears for the future. Might they find the strength to rebuild and regain their sense of worth and value. Loving God, we lift before you those whom we know personally who are doing it tough at this time. For all these, Lord, we ask that you might bless, heal and restore hope and give them a renewed sense of your presence as they continue their journey. And even in these times, still the desire for power and domination continues across our world, and innocent people suffer. We know not how to pray for the victims of such selfishness, but we lift them to you, knowing that you are all-powerful. We continue to pray for those frontline workers still caught up in keeping people safe, and we thank you for the brilliance of the scientists who are working tirelessly to develop vaccines for this dreadful scourge. And of course, we pray for our government leaders as they seek to unravel all the situation and all the restrictions and all the issues that come their way. Give them wisdom and insight, we pray, to help our country recover and move forward once more. There seems to be so much to pray about, Lord, and we take comfort in the knowledge that you know our needs and concerns before we even speak them. And Lord, it is almost a new year, rich in possibilities. We have no idea what lies ahead, but we do know who goes before us. So Lord, help us to live positively and to really trust that you will strengthen us in any storm, comfort and empower us in any situation, and open our eyes to those in need, so that we might be part of the answer to our prayers. Show us how to make a difference for good. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
So, as we come to the conclusion of this service, the 3rd and 10th of January 2021, we're going to be coming back face-to-face worship, COVID willing. Again, bookings are required. So all the same things we've been doing previously, you need to continue to do in regards to spacing and that sort of stuff. I'll be back on deck on the 14th of January. In between now and then, if you've got pastoral issues, please connect with your small group leaders, or if you don't have one, have a chat with Judy Beams. Look, so hey, wish you all the best. I really hope that somehow you're going to be able to recreate some energy and as we go into this new year. Certainly looking forward to being a part of your lives into this coming year, and I really ask a special blessing on you as this happens. And don't forget, our motto is connect with others, you know, catch up with them, choose life, because to grow stronger through COVID, we have to pass on God's love. That's really what we're doing. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with each one of us now forevermore. Thanks.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. My Lord, my God, my Lord.